Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, July 15th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. An invasive insect that is doing widespread damage to alder trees in south-central Alaska has now been discovered in southeast. A Forest Service entomologist is fairly certain that the bright green caterpillar, which recently defoliated a small tree in a Sitka neighborhood, is the green alder sawfly. Samples of the insect are headed to a sawfly expert at the Smithsonian Institution for confirmation. But in the meantime, area residents should pay attention to what may be living on and eating local alder trees. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It's a pretty common call to any radio station newsroom around here. Somebody's found something unusual. It might be fill-in-the-blank, Japanese tsunami debris, Jimmy Hoffa, or a bright green caterpillar from North Africa. Well, this time, fans of Detroit's most enduring mystery will be disappointed, but those concerned about unusual insects will not.
I mean, I'd like to think that this was the only tree, but I would say the chances of it just being here and nowhere else is Sitka, I would think it's not big.
Bob Gorman is the cooperative extension agent in Sitka. We're standing in a yard on Shelikoff Street looking at the green alder sawfly.
It's a little more than an inch long, maybe a 16th of an inch wide. It's real light green with a kind of a darker stripe green. It's got a head is just about the same color as the body.
There is a native sawfly that feeds on alder, but this damage is far more extensive. The leaf Gorman holds has been devoured with remarkable precision. It looks like lace.
You see this kind of defoliation where you see little holes? That's not that uncommon. But these guys are totally just skeletonizing the leaves.
These are the larvae, and they just eat and eat and eat, and that's, you know, what their job is right now.
This is Liz Graham, an entomologist with the Forest Service in Juneau. Gorman sent her pictures of the caterpillars, and she literally was on a plane to Sitka the next day.
When you have a new introduction, the best thing you can do is treat it quickly and get rid of them quickly before they spread and become established. And if say, the only place we find them is in this one neighborhood, then we really want to try to, you know, nip it in the bud early and make sure that they don't spread out and get into the forest. Because once that happens, it's really, really difficult to manage, almost impossible.
The green alder sawfly is native to North Africa and Southern Europe. It was first found in eastern Canada in the 1990s. And identified in Alaska in 2004. The green alder sawfly has been found in Oregon and Washington, and it's become a major problem in some drainages around Anchorage, Ship Creek and Campbell Creek in particular. We'll never know how it got to Sitka. We just know it did not get here by itself.
Could have been on a barge. It could have been on somebody's car when it, you know, was on the ferry. You know, one of the great mysteries. It very well could have come from Anchorage.
The green alder sawfly feeds in summertime in caterpillar form, molts several times, and then drops to the ground in fall. It overwinters in soil or dead wood and emerges in spring as an adult sawfly, which resembles a small wasp. It's at this stage that some form of pesticide or other biological control might be introduced to contain the sawfly. Graham says she'll be back next spring to survey the amount of airborne sawflies and to determine how far it has spread. Alder are a major part of the forest ecosystem in southeast. The fast-growing trees fix nitrogen in the soil, provide shade along stream banks, and shelter young conifers. Widespread defoliation would be a major disruption, but would it be a disaster?
The environment is good at adapting. And even though this is something new that's been introduced, I think that there will be ways to catch up.
Graham says the beetles common in southeast will make a nice meal of sawfly larvae. So will the birds. In fact, as I stand next to the devoured alder on Shelikoff Street, a small bird, maybe the aptly named alder flycatcher, darts in and pays back one of the caterpillars in kind.
Yeah, got one. There you go.
Yeah.
Got another.
Yeah, you got your control right there.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can see photos of the green alder sawfly on our website, kcaw.org. If you think you have the bright green caterpillars on alder trees in your yard or neighborhood, please call the Cooperative Extension Service at 747-9413. A possible merger of two Seattle-based commercial shipping companies is raising concern of a monopoly in Southeast Alaska. But competing for that area is a third company, Sitka's Sampson Tug and Barge, who is talking about expanding their services in Southeast. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
A state antitrust lawyer says a proposed merger may pit the commercial shipping equivalents of David against Goliath in Southeast Alaska. The plan, announced in April, involves three shipping companies: Seattle-based Alaska Marine Lines, Seattle-based Northland Services, and Sitka-based Sampson Tug and Barge. AML's parent company, Linden Incorporated, wants to buy AML competitor Northland Services. If that was the end of the plan, Linden would have a monopoly on shipping in Southeast Alaska.
Competing with someone like Linden's a tough thing to do. I mean, they are, they've been around, they're big, they know what they're doing. You get someone like Sampson coming in and trying to swing at Goliath a little bit, and you want to make sure they have a big hammer. So when they hit him, he feels it.
That's Assistant Attorney General Ed Sniffen speaking to the Juneau Chamber of Commerce on Thursday. It's his job to review the merger plan, negotiate fixes to the anti-competitive parts, and if necessary, fight it out in court. Though Sitka-based, Sampson right now doesn't operate elsewhere in Southeast. Sampson Vice President Corey Baggin says the company only has about 10 employees in the Panhandle, all of them in Sitka. However, Sampson announced plans to expand its service in Southeast the same day Linden announced its intent to buy Northland. AML has been touting that expansion as the antidote to its Southeast monopoly. Here's AML President Kevin Anderson.
I think that the competition is going to be as stiff as it was when, as it is today with Northland, and normally competition tends to keep the prices down. You know, we're not going into this thinking we're going to lose any customers, and if we have the battle for them to keep them, so be it.
Many details of the vetting and deal-making are under wraps, at least until the Department of Law files something in court, but the parties have essentially said that Northland won't be wholly absorbed by Linden. Instead, Northland may be carved up between Linden and Sampson in service of the smaller company's Southeast expansion. For example, Baggin said Sampson is eyeing Northland's current location on Channel Drive as its future port in Juneau. And if everything goes forward, she says her company will probably pick up 40 or 50 of Northland's employees in Southeast. That last if brings it back to the Department of Law. Baggin says Sampson won't start investing and expanding until the merger's greenlit. But the merger may not be greenlit until AML actually has new competition in Southeast.
I don't want to set it up and put a warehouse in with 25 doors and be all ready for nothing and the consent decree doesn't go through. So it's kind of a chicken-egg thing right now.
AML's Kevin Anderson says his company's intent with the purchase of Northland is not to monopolize shipping in Southeast, but to expand in Seattle by acquiring Northland's property there and to become a full-service Alaska seafood packager, carrier, and marketer.
The thing that Northland does extremely well is that they're out in the West, Bristol Bay and Kodiak and Dutch Harbor. I mean, some of the biggest fish runs in all of Alaska. We couldn't play in that game.
He also says it's been an extremely painful process.
We've been involved in this process now for, close to a year. And it doesn't seem like we're getting any closer. It's just one thing after another. And the amount of time and effort it takes on a lot of people's part to put something like this together is unbelievable.
Sniffen says the Department of Law hopes to have something filed in October, which would open a 60-day public comment period. Ultimately, a judge would have to sign off on the deal. If the department can meet that timeline, Sniffen says the parties would know by the new year if the merger can go through. As far as her company's characterization as David, Baggin was lukewarm.
I think that the history of Southeast Alaska has shown that small companies can be viable and successful and can do a really good job here. So even though it might be a good analogy, I think it's okay.
That history includes echoes of another David and Goliath story. When Linden, originally a trucking company, first got into Alaska shipping, Anderson says Linden wasn't taken seriously because Foss Maritime was the giant. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
A suspected sexual assault on a minor on board a cruise ship has been forwarded to Ketchikan District Attorney for review. According to Alaska State Troopers, the alleged incident occurred on board the Celebrity Century cruise ship while still in Alaska waters after the ship left Ketchikan on June 28. The report claims that a 12-year-old Canadian girl was groped by a 30-year-old Japanese man. The alleged incident occurred while the girl and her friend were walking near the ship's pool. The ship's security office heard about it first, and then the matter was investigated by Vancouver Police Department, who then notified the FBI in Juneau. The FBI then sent the information on to troopers, and it then landed in the DA's office. Trooper spokeswoman Megan Peters says that no one is in custody at this time.
In cases where charges are referred to the district attorney, essentially it means that the allegations have been documented, whatever evidence is associated with the case is given to the district attorney's office, and the district attorney's office will review it, and they'll make a determination if charges should move forward into the court system. So in this case, no one's been arrested or charged, but the case is under review.
Peter says that the suspect's name will not be released unless he is charged with a crime. We have a clarification to make on a story we reported during this newscast Friday. In talking about Tenneke Springs, we said the city has about 150 full-time residents. One of those residents wrote to us and wanted to know where we got that number. The answer is a state database of community profiles. It uses numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau, among other sources, but it doesn't tell the whole story. So how many people actually live in Tenneke?
You know, that's kind of debatable, but I believe we have just over 100 registered voters.
That's Gordon Chu, chairman of the Tenneke Advisory School Board. Pinning down an exact number is difficult. Like so many communities in Alaska, Tenneke's population is very seasonal. Anecdotally, residents say in the summer, it can be as high as 150. In the winter, the population can drop to 50. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.